It's really my great privilege and honor to introduce you to Dr. Frederick Schroyens. For those of you who don't know Dr. Schroyens, he is really one of the guiding lights in the homeopathic community. He is the editor of the Synthesis Repertory, and for those of you who are not aware of the incredible amount of scholarship that goes into synthesis, let me just share with you a quick story. I'm on these regular week-long, every week I'm on these phone calls where I talk to Frederick, and he goes over all of the work that they're doing on synthesis, and I am continuously amazed at the level of intelligence and meticulous forethought and scholarship that goes into this repertory. It's really impossible to convey to somebody the amount of attention that goes into creating this amazing work. So Dr. Schroyens is an amazing homeopath. He's also an excellent teacher. He was just teaching in Greece on the island of Alanisos, and the reports back from that conference were glowing. People said that they found to be one of the most useful and practical homeopathic seminars that they had ever attended. So it's really my great honor to introduce you to Dr. Frederick Schroyens, and I think you're in for a really delightful and informative call. Frederick, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join us.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure.
He's also he's a really wonderful person as well. I mean, when I go over to Belgium, he takes me out to these wonderful Belgian meals and fantastic pastries. So I'm sure if you ever go to Belgium and you want to be shown around a little bit, you should contact him, because he's a lovely human being on top of it all. So, Frederick, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the changes that have happened to the Synthesis Repertory, because I know now with Synthesis 9.1 there's been quite a number of structural changes.
Yes, indeed.
And I was curious, why did you feel that there was a need to change the structure of the Kantian Repertory, which most people are so familiar with?
Yes, in fact, it's the change we made while creating Synthesis 9.1, I say 9.1 and not 9.0, is in fact a big change, the biggest probably we ever made, and in the sense that we have now restructured many, many symptoms. And though it has happened now, I can tell you that it has been my desire to do so since a very long time. And those who have been using the repertory as a book, they will probably understand very well what I will explain now. But I would prefer to go with an example, okay? And so there is this real story which happened maybe 20 or more years ago. I had this patient coming in and describing pains and aches in his heart. And very distressing, and could only give vague things, vague descriptions. He had pain most all of the time. He had all types of pain. He wasn't irradiating. And you try to find a clue. You know how it goes, eh? You ask, what more can you say? What more can you say? When is it worse? When is it better? Please help me. Please help me to find an interesting symptom, peculiar symptom. And so most of what he was saying was quite vague, though it was clear that he was suffering quite a lot from this pain in his heart. Until a certain moment that he was then describing that he wasn't drinking anymore, or at least as little as possible, because when he was drinking, the pain would come up, the pain in his heart. And so I guess some of you will have a repertory with you. Now, if you look in the old versions, which are not restructured, like Synthesis 9.0 or previous versions, like Synthesis 8.1 or whatever version before, and you go to the place to find the symptom, which I'm doing actually now, you go to chest pain heart, as you know, and then you type a D, I'm using the software, and you see, yes, drinking hot water, but you find drinking hot water amel. And so my patient was saying the pain was aggravated. And so there I was. I had the opposite information. It was not spigelia that was to be needed. And so when done, I prescribed the remedy. I even don't remember exactly which remedy I prescribed. And probably on the basis of other symptoms, and that patient did not do well, to say the least. Now, sometime later, by chance, I found this other symptom someplace further. And if you go to chest pain stitching in the old Kantian-like repertories, and then again heart, so chest pain stitching heart, you will see there is a subrubric drinking after. The aggravation, not the amelioration. And this holds the remedy China. So the modality, drinking after, is kind of hidden in the chapter stitching pain of heart. It's not present in the main chapter, chest pain heart. It is hidden. And of course we know this, because this story that I'm telling you, we have it all the time. We have some information and we know, speaking about the book now, if we turn a few more pages and we go to the sub-rubrics of the pain descriptions, then we will find some more remedies. And in fact, many of my colleagues, the homeopaths I've been working with, we had these little sheets, these little papers interleaved in our repertory, where we would say, these remedies are to be considered as well because they are hidden under burning, stitching, tearing, etc. So, this is the point. A lot of information is hidden in the descriptions of pain, and we are not using it.
Frederick, you know, when I first saw the changes in the structure, it really amazed me to see all, as you just mentioned, to see all this information. It was really hidden, and because it was hidden, we're not using it, immediately become visible in the new structure.
Yes.
So I can understand theoretically, you know, that this is very valuable, but I'm curious, does it really have an impact in practice as well? I mean, are we getting better results because of this revised structure?
Yes. Let me reply to this question with the case that I've been describing.
Okay.
If now anyone up there has synthesis 9-1 and you go to the same symptom to say chest, pain, heart, drinking, then you see that in synthesis 9-1 you have a subrubric after aggravates with China, hot water amel with pygelia as we know. So it means that if the patient is telling you, I have a pain in the heart and the modality is drinking aggravate, you find it, whether it's just there or whether it is there because of stitching or tearing or lancinating, whatever, it is just there. Now, I know, with the software, of course, I have done it thousands of times, you have done it, you can search. You can say, find all symptoms containing heart and drinking, and you will look for them, etc. But the truth is, we don't do this all the time. So the change in structure we made is to have this information available automatically, instantly, without doing anything. And what is the result in practice? Well, in practice, for my patient, it would have been that I would have seen the China remedy straight away. And what is the result in practice? I will give you a few other examples. Which one shall I say? Oh, well, let's take the rubric I, pain, and then menses, during. So, nice symptom. Patient has pain during the menstrual period. Okay? And in the old structure, you find for this modality five remedies, calcarea, colocynthos, and others. Now, if you look for this symptom in your book or software 9-1, you will see that the five remedies have become 11, more than doubled. Why? Again, because the remedies that contain this strong modality during menses aggravates, they were not only present under eye pain, but also under eye pain burning, eye pain pressing, etc. And so we changed the structure in such a way that we grouped all the rubrics expressing pain in the eyes during menses together. And so instead of 5 remedies, now straight away you look at 11 remedies. Is this clearly explained?
Yeah, very good, Frederick. Frederick, I'm curious, you know, I noticed that in 9.1, some of the important rubrics have disappeared. Can you tell us why that's happened?
Yeah. There are some interesting examples, and there are two major reasons. I will explain the easiest first. Now, the easiest is that one work we have been doing since taking up Kent's repertory is streamlining, you can say standardizing, whatever, the language of the repertory and the structure. By which I mean that we try to apply the rules of the structure of the repertory all through. Same rule all through. I give an example now on words. In the old repertory, there was a lot of speaking. Ba-ba-ba, speaking aggravates. And also, other rubric, ba-ba-ba, talking aggravates. Now we streamline, for example, the language, and there is no more speaking, there is only talking. So when you search software or book, you only go to the letter T and look for talking. Now we have done the same streamlining in the sorting of symptoms. And I guess there are some people out there still been using Kent's repertory. You got used to some of these exceptions in the structure of the repertory. For example, you have the sites. You know, sites is one qualification of a symptom. And where is it positioned in the Kentian structure? It is the first one. If you have head pain, left side, left is the first rubric. Sides comes first. And this is all true. Whatever level you go, left and right is the beginning of the sub-rubrics. Now, in the main chapters, that isn't true. For example, you got used to looking at sides in general under S in the alphabet, not at the beginning of the chapter. So general, sides, left, was somewhere in the middle of the chapter generals, not in the beginning. So we streamlined that. So sites now are in the beginning of generals. So people used to look for sites in the middle. In this case, they may believe, well, it has disappeared. In fact, it didn't disappear. It was just sorted in another way. Another example, nails. Extremities, nails. This is one which comes up often. Eh? Same point. This is a localization. Localizations always are the last part of the symptom list. But there are exceptions in the chapter chill, wherever. There are exceptions all over. So we streamlined it with synthesis 9.1, and now any level of symptom, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, any level of symptom, we have put the localizations as the last ones. So where is the rubric extremities nails? It is not in the middle as it was before. It is just together with all the other localizations at the end of the chapter extremities. You see?
Yeah, very interesting.
Some of the rubrics you don't find because the sorting has been streamlined, has been made coherent on level 2, which is head pain, extremities, nails, general sites, or on level 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Does it make things more complicated?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, to start, yes. If you're used to looking for the rubric in the so-called, I would say, the wrong place, well, yes, okay. But I would like to suggest that it makes things more easy in the end, because you have to remember only one order, to be clear, sites, times, modalities and descriptions, extensions and localizations. You have to remember just this order of symptoms. And whatever level you are, you know, first I need to look at sites, then at times, then the rest, and localizations are in the end. You see?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see the advantage of this new structure, and I think you're right. It's going to take a little bit of time for people to get used to using it, but once they do, it's quite a bit better. I mean, to know that you don't have those redundancy of rubrics, that they're all located in one location, I think is very advantageous for sure. So I think this is top level work, Frederick.
Yeah. So this is the first reason why people may not find a rubric in the book. Because in the software, I have to clarify, in the software it's just the same. You type extremities, enter, and for nails, and you are at the rubric wherever it is in the chapter. In the software it's just the same. Just in the book you need to be careful and reflect for a while. Eh?
Very good.
The second reason why rubrics have disappeared is an interesting one. And it's again, to start, it looks as a disadvantage. But I hope to convince you that from the second look, in fact, it is also an advantage. And I will give you the precise example. So if you go to the rubric old structure, head pain, cutting, cold air aggravates. You know this rubric, okay? And you know the modality cold air aggravates. But are you aware that in the repertory, the aggravation from cold air is not always expressed in the same way? I invite you to look at head pain, tearing, air colds. And so there you need to look under the letter A. If you're looking under C for cold and then a subrubric air, you won't find anything. To tell you, there are 36 different ways in the repertory to describe the aggravation from cold air. And some of them start with a C, cold air, etc. Some of them start with an A. So it's really a mix-up. Now, in our work of restructuring, we have changed the symptom head pain cutting cold air in such a way that we put the description of the pain cutting at the end. So you get head pain, cold air, and then cutting as a subrubric. Now, in the same way, head pain tearing, air cold, the tearing was moved to the end. So you get head pain, air cold, and then tearing as a subrubric. Now, would this be useful? Well, obviously not, because still all this information would not be at the same place. And this was the goal, to have related information at the same place. You would still need to go and look at cold air aggravate under C for some of the information, and then to look under A, air cold, to have some other part of the information. So what we needed to do to have a cold air aggravate the same place, the same page, the same screen, is to streamline these modalities. So before, cold air aggravate was expressed in 36 different ways. Now, cold air aggravate is the way cold air aggravate. See? And so, you may be used to looking at air cold. Then you say, oh, rubric has disappeared. Wait a minute, it has not disappeared. It is just being streamlined, and therefore, at the same place together with its related symptoms, under C of cold air. So this is the other reason why people may not find the rubric at a glance, because we have streamlined the modalities, the localizations, and the descriptions. Especially the modalities, you will need to be careful. Not because we have done a lousy job, but because there were so many exceptions. It's incredible. For cold air aggravates, I invite you to invent 36 ways to say that. But there are. They exist in the repertory, the old repertory, even synthesis 8.1, were 36 ways to say cold air aggravates. And so we just created some order in that.
Well, obviously this is very important, because if you don't know, there's 36 different ways and you only know two or three or five of them, you're not going to necessarily have all of the information available to you. So it's a fantastic process. I have a question, though, Frederick. I also noticed that besides some of the rubrics disappearing, that in some of the rubrics they have less remedies. What's the reason for that?
Yes, yes. This is another request we get sometimes for people who have been using Synthesis 8, and then they get the software or the book, 9.1, and even in 9, I think, and suddenly there are less remedies. And this is disturbing because people, mostly they buy the new version, the update, because they want more information, and now they have less information. And so there is one main reason for this, and I will end it with an example. So, the software people, they can open Synthesis 8.1. So I will first give you the symptom in Synthesis 8.1. Go to stomach, pain, eating, after, Amel. Stomach, pain, eating, after, Amel. And in Synthesis 8.1, in full synthesis I'm speaking, you see 72 remedies. Okay? Now, you go to the same symptom in Synthesis 9.1, for those who have it. And in this same rubric, stomach, pain, eating, after, Amel, you see 53 remedies. So it's true. There's about 20 remedies that have disappeared. Now, what has happened? This is related to the second part of the of this conversation, to the Berger-Bönninghausen work. If you go back to Synthesis 8.1, to this symptom, you will see that quite a few of these symptoms are related to BG2, which is the Berger-Bönninghausen book. And we had started our work of integrating Berger-Bönninghausen in synthesis in a certain way, which is by adding these remedies to stomach pain eating after Amel. But through discussions, etc., and investigating, reflecting, we decided that this was not the best way. Because, in fact, those who have the software, you now, if you... Oh, no, it was not yet done there. Let me check. No, it was not yet done there. Okay, I'll tell this later. So, anyway, I'll give you the reason, then I'll tell you what I just was skipping. So, the remedies which are in this rubric because of BG2, the Berger-Bönninghausen, they were there because of a generalized rubric. Because, you know, in Berger-Bönninghausen we have these generalized rubrics. Now, what is the precise generalized rubric in this case? It was stomach eating after Amel. So any complaints of the stomach get better after eating. Not precisely pain, not only pain. And in the beginning, the start of our work, we had said, okay, this coincides quite well with Kent. In fact, if you look here in the Synthesis 8.1, you see quite a few of these remedies. They were already in pain eating after Amel. See, Natrum Carb, Natrum Sulf, Nicolum, Veratrum. All these remedies of Berger-Bönninghausen generalized rubric were the same as the pain rubric in Kent. So there was some reason to say, okay, let's put it there. This was our first strategy on which we have stopped. Why? Because we felt, we got convinced, we became convinced that the way that Berger and Bönninghausen conceived the repository and created these rubrics was basically different. And so it was not a good strategy to inject remedies which express something more general, like anything in the stomach is better from after eating, to inject these remedies in the more precise rubric. This pain is better after eating. So we have taken away these rubrics, these remedies, I'm sorry, these Berger-Bönninghausen remedies out of stomach pain eating after Amel. And where did they go to? Well, we created in Synthesis 9.1 a generalized brick in stomach. Now I go back to Synthesis 9.1. You can open it if you like. First of all, you still look at the symptom, stomach pain eating after a meal. Well, you will see in this rubric, all the references, the rubric holding 53 remedies only, that all the references of Berger Bönninghausen have disappeared. So this is truly the reason why this rubric now has less remedies. But where did they go to? Well, maybe you can guess. You just have to type in Synthesis 9.1, stomach eating after a meal. Stomach eating after a meal. And there you see again the natrium carb, the natrium sulf, nicolum, veratrum, etc. with the precise reference of Berger Bönninghausen and even of the original Bönninghausen books. So in Synthesis, we always had these specific Kantian symptoms, but we also have now these Berger Bönninghausen rubrics, but we have split them, we have kept them apart, a specific individualized precise rubric, Kantian one, contains only this type of information. The generalized information is in the more generalized rubrics like stomach eating after a meal.
That's a very smart way to address this whole issue of the Kantian versus the Boger Bönninghausen type repertories. I really like it a lot, and I'd like to get into asking some questions about the Boger Bönninghausen repertory in general and how you've used that. But I have a quick practical question first,
yes.
Which is, what do you do when, if you're familiar with the older synthesis structure, Frederick, and you don't find a rubric that you knew existed? How do you actually address that situation?
Yes. Well, of course we are aware that the change, it causes some frustration even, adaptation frustration. Nevertheless, I believe the learning curve is not too much, because I hope even from this telephone call you can remember that whenever there is a temperature in a mixed modality like cold air, warm bathing, etc., it's always under cold or warm and then whatever is to follow. Huh? So once you know a few rules like this one, you'll find your way. You search one time, you search a second time, you remember the third time, you forget the fourth time, and the fifth time, you just don't forget it anymore. Now, what have we done to make this learning process as easy as possible? First of all, I would like to invite everyone to read the foreword to Synthesis 9, and that is it present in the book that comes with the software. It describes with examples very precisely what we have done. All the things I've been explaining, they are described in the foreword. A lot of time in making this very precise and accurate, and also not too long, not too short, 16 pages only. If you read the foreword, you become aware of what exactly we have done. And so you may be able to remember these rules, two approaches, facilitate. Now, nevertheless, I understand that people will not find certain symptoms. And then we have two other solutions. The first one is for the software people. And again, you can open your Synthesis 9.1. I don't know if you have seen, but there is a new chapter added to this, Synthesis 9.1. And it's called Old Symptoms. Now suppose, I will take an easy example, you are used to looking at head pain stitching samples. And you don't find it, because true, in Synthesis 9.1, this symptom does not exist. It will not be possible to find it. Well, then you just go to Old Symptoms, the chapter Old Symptoms, and within the chapter Old Symptoms, you type the symptom as you always knew it. You type old symptoms, head, pain, stitching, temples. Then you arrive at a place in the repertory where there is no remedies, no information, only a referring rubric. So the only thing you need to do is hit enter another time or double-click with the mouse on that rubric, and it will transfer you to that place in the regular chapters, so in this case the chapter head, where the old symptom has been converted. In this case, it will lead you to head, pain, temples, stitching. This is an easy case, but of course for more complicated cases, you know the symptom very well, you don't find it. This is really the very easy solution. You type the symptom you always knew preceded by old symptoms, enter one more time, and there you are at the symptom in its new way, in new expression, whatever has changed to it. Okay?
Fantastic, Frederick. That's very interesting.
Yes. No, I'm not finished. This
oh, you're
is
not
the
okay,
first
sorry.
One.
Yeah, go ahead.
You wanna address this first example?
Yeah.
Okay. So I go on with the second one. The second one is that we are very much at the disposition of everybody to help with finding symptoms, and we have two ways there. So the first one, we have a forum at the forum about synthesis, where people ask the questions like the ones I have been describing. And on that forum we have already replied, this symptom has been moved, it has been renamed like this because there was an error or because the streamlining, etc., etc. So we have these discussions and these replies in the forum for hundreds of symptoms there. So you could go to the forum, you just enter the symptom or a few keywords of that symptom, and you will see if the topic has been addressed already. So to access that forum, you go to the Archibel website, archibel.com, and on the home page there is a button, forum. Okay?
And just for people who don't know, it's www.archibel, which is archibel.com.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fred.
So the forum. And of course, if it's not there, you're welcome to post your request, whatever. The other possibility is that you can contact us either directly or through Kim by any means, mail, email, fax, and send us your request, and we will be very happy to reply and give you the reason why and how the symptom has been changed. I guess, Kim, everybody has your email? And
yeah, I'm sure.
And whatever.
One of us, yeah.
Even if people want to address us directly, no problem. The email is just synthesis@archibel.com.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you, Frederick. So listen, getting into the Bossier and Benninghausen repertories.
Yes.
I know that Kent and also Herring were very critical of the Benninghausen approach, this idea of generalization. And so I'm curious how you were able to integrate that Benninghausen-type work into the synthesis structure, which is based on a Kentian structure.
Yes, that's true. And part of the answer I have been given just a while ago when I was explaining you about the remedies being moved from Kentian rubrics to new generalized Berger-Benninghausen rubrics. So we did integrate the work of Berger-Benninghausen in synthesis, that is true. But the one thing I need to emphasize is that almost all the rubrics, except for the corrections, all the rubrics, the Kentian rubrics that were there in synthesis 8, they are still there in the same way in synthesis 9. So going from mind jealousy, head pain eating after, chill in the morning, whatever general food, salad desire, they are just there in the same way. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed to the vast majority of the symptoms in synthesis between 8 and 9 ones. Okay? But we did add those new rubrics, generalized rubrics, and you have to reflect, you have to remember the structure or the content of the chapter generals. In general, of course, you have generalized rubrics. You have eating after, agraf, amel, cold weather, cold wind, warm bathing. You have lying on the left side, aggravate, etc. You have all these generalized rubrics. Well, you have to imagine that in almost all the chapters, now you have similar or even identical sub-rubrics related to that chapter. You will have stomach, eating after a meal, stomach lying on the left side of a meal, etc. So the generalized rubrics are in stomach, head, back, chest, extremities, whatever. Separate is the key. Separate. So the way to do it was to leave Kent as it was, to leave the specific rubrics as they were, to not mix the information, because it's a different location. And so this is the way we have done it.
Very good. Frederick, the Bossier-Boninghausen information that's now available to us, how do you use that in your practice specifically? Because I know in North America a lot of people are only trained in the Kentian structured repertories. So could you give us a little bit of information about how it's actually used or what types of situations you use it?
Yes, yes. I will give another example about the stomach, because just I'm going to eat after this, having dinner, okay? Okay. So suppose you have a patient who has stomach problems and has a pain in the stomach, has a pain in the stomach which improves after eating. Okay, so you can go to stomach pain eating after a meal. Okay? And then he comes up with another problem which is not related to this pain, which is a sensation of heaviness, whatever. And whenever he gets this, it tells you, well, if I eat, it's improving. Of course you can go and look if there is a rubric such as stomach heaviness eating after a meal. Or you can say, this is looking like a more general modality. And then you can go to general and take the general rubric, generals eating after a meal. So before we had this choice of either using the very specific symptom, or if the modality, for example, became more generalized, we could use it, this modality, looking at the chapter general. And this is the way we work. You agree?
Sure.
Now, with the integration of Bossier-Boninghausen in precisely the way that I have just been describing to you, there is one level in between. If all the improvements from eating are related to stomach, you can use the general rubric in stomach, which is stomach eating after a meal. You see? Of course, you have a smaller number of remedies, because these remedies are not related to eating after a meal anywhere, all over the body, etc. They are related to eating after a meal, related to stomach. So which, of course, is interesting, because it is more precise, and the suggestions for remedies we get from repertorizing with this more precise rubric will, of course, be more precise. So the way to use the Bossier-Boninghausen information is to be aware that right now we have scales, we have steps from the most specific, going from the most specific to the most general. And then we listen carefully to the patient. We say, this modality, is it related to a very specific thing? Is it more general or very general, absolutely general? And we can then pick that set of remedies known to relate to that level of generalization or individualization.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Frederick, I know that Roger Van Zandvoort has come out with a repertory recently called the Repertory Universale, which is largely built on the Bossier-Boninghausen structure. I'm curious, could you give us an idea of, or compare for us, or what is the differences between the approach that you used in synthesis and the approach that Roger used in creating the complete Universale?
Yes, yes, yes. So Roger has also integrated different repertory work from Bossier and from Boninghausen. It is correct. But we did do it in a different way. Definitely we did our own thing over the past years, because I can tell you that the amount of information, by the way, the Bossier-Boninghausen information integrated in Synthesis 9.1, it corresponds more or less to a full Kent. So take the old Synthesis 8.1, to open it, you put the full Kent inside it, and then you have 9.1 with Bossier-Boninghausen integrated. Because these are about 448,000 outer references. And you may know that the original Kent, if you count it, had 4,055 remedy references. Okay, so it's an incredible amount of information that has been added to Synthesis 9.1. Now, what is the difference? The difference is it's already from the setup of the work. What we have done is we created a separate repertory each time. So when we integrated, let's say, Burger Bönninghausen BG2, we have created Burger Bönninghausen as such. We reproduced it. So we have a repertory, separate repertory, which is exactly the same as the printed book, done in a very careful way. One team of people typed in the symptoms, a different team of people that remedies to the symptoms, taking the work of the first team, then everything was printed, and a third team compared that printout with the original book. I can tell you, we believe we have a very high quality database of each of these separate repertories of Burger and Bönninghausen. Now, starting from that, we used a computer program to link, inject the information of the Burger Bönninghausen symptoms into Synthesis, and keeping them separate. Now, it was injected by computer, and you know, with a computer you can always do some extras. And if some of you looking at software, you want to go back to Synthesis 9.1, and you want to look at stomach eating after amel, I guess this symptom is still on your screen, then you will see that the authors are underlined. Now, you take, for example, Kalkfoss BG2. You click on the BG2, and then you will see that the outer information window opens, and it tells you this reference comes, of course, from Burger Bönninghausen, from page 531, symptom 12 on that page. It gives you the full text, stomach amelioration, eating after, exactly as it was in, as it is in Burger Bönninghausen, tells you the remedy and the original degree, and tells you how this degree was converted into Synthesis. So, what is the summary of the thing I've been explaining to you? It is precision and transparency. We have done our work, I think I can say, with the utmost possible precision and transparency. And that is, I believe, very important for all repertory work. This is one of our main credos. You understand the word credo?
Mm-hmm.
The thing you believe to be important, okay? This is just another example of it, transparency and precision. So we have done our work with an incredible transparency and precision. You take the mouse, you click one time, and anyone can check if we made a mistake or not. It is not there just because Burger says it is in some of the books of Burger and Bönninghausen, you don't know which Rubik where it comes from. No, it is there with the precise reference where it comes from. And of course, if you are able to offer such a level of precision in your data, it also tells you something about the quality of the work.
Fantastic, Frederick. Just even hearing it again, even more familiar with this information, because we talk once a week, it just impresses upon me again what amazing amount of energy goes into the creation of such an amazing database for the homeopathic community. I really just applaud you in your effort. It's just incredible.
But the thing you don't have to applaud me alone.
Well, I do.
A whole team of people. It's really,
really
a whole group.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have many other questions, but I see because of our technical difficulties, we're running short on time. So I'm going to open it up to the general audience for them to be able to ask a few questions at least. I did want to mention to those of you who are on the call that the discounted DHR book sale was extended for through the weekend. So if anybody wants to take advantage of the 22% discount, I know that the new Synthesis book is 22% off, as is 1001 Small Remedies, and actually all of our titles are discounted. So if anybody wants to get in on that, you might want to visit our website, DH Whole Health Now Books, or they can contact Allison toll-free at 866-599-5950. That's 866-595-5950. So let's open it up to the general audience. Does anybody like to have some questions for Dr. Shroyans? Hello? Are people still there?
I'm still here. It was wonderful. I'm in awe of the work and the precision. It was really a great learning for me to hear how you came to the changes that you came to.
Thank you. Who was that who said that?
That's Barbara from
Barbara,
Marin.
Thanks, Barbara.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You, Frederick.
Anybody else on who has any questions they'd like to ask?
I was curious if there were more authors' references that were put as additions to the remedies in the synthesis 9.1.
There were more author references as compared to what?
As compared to any of the other versions of the
synthesis 8, perhaps, Frederick.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I don't know the figures out of my head, but I think in the previous version of synthesis we had about 650 author references, and by now we have included information of more than 800 authors, including some of the more recent provings.
Wow, that's great.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Great. Well, I think we have time for one final question. Anybody have one burning question they'd like to ask Dr. Shroyans, who called in from Belgium and is postponing his dinner to speak, to be nice enough to speak to us?
Not too much postponing.
Any questions?
I have a very specific one.
Go ahead.
I often see the words cold and the words chill, and I wondered if there was a simple way to differentiate, or has that been taken care of in the new work?
Yes, this is the kind of questions I like.
Oh, good.
Yes. So we speak repertory language, okay?
Yes.
So chill is supposed to be a part of a fever phenomenon. Okay? So a fever period. Fever period is possibly a stage with heat, fever, with coldness, which is chill, and then perspiration.
Yes.
The coldness is related to an inflammation, infectious disease, or whatever, it is chill during, okay? And if it's not related to into an acute disease with fever, then it's during. Do you understand the difference now?
So a person who eats and then feels chilly afterwards would be chill, not cold?
Yes, it would be like coldness in the stomach, and which is a possible symptom, coldness in the stomach after eating. You would need to go and look for coldness, stomach coldness eating after.
Okay, thank you.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Fevers is something that largely the language of fevers has disappeared from our language. If you look at the old literature, you'll notice that the description of fevers was much more complex and much more thoroughly described.
I have to say, though, if I'm just reflecting, I'm not speaking about chill and cold, but there is definitely some gray area in this. And this gray area is especially relevant speaking about heat and fever.
Yeah.
Because heat during and fever during, you will see there are quite some rubrics where you almost need to switch and look for the one because the other is just not existing.
Mm.
And even if theoretically the difference is the same, heat during is not fever during, it's fever, is the feverish process. Theoretically, the difference is the same. There is a bigger gray area, especially in heat during and fever during. So I think it will be very difficult to straighten this out because it has been mixed up all the way through, see?
So, for example, if you have a mental symptom that's during the heat, often it will say during the heat, is that referring to a fever then?
Well, this may well be, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the cases in mind symptoms, it will be heat during, fever during, and you will need to look at this, whatever is available. You see?
Yeah.
You've spotted there one of the weak places in the repertory language, in fact. But we have to live with it.
Frederick, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join us. And I'm hoping, because of some of the technical difficulties, that perhaps we could do this again in the near future and maybe even elaborate on some of the things that were discussed on today's call.